Greetings all. Welcome to another edition of Kaleidoscope. I'm Bill Edwards, and one of the honors of having this platform is to be able to talk to interesting people about fascinating topics. And this week we're talking about another World War II hero. And I don't think we can ever get enough about talking about the greatest generation. Steve Snyder was in town recently signing his book, Shot Down, the story of his father, Howard Snyder. Howard was a B-17 pilot in World War II, and he and his friends might have been dancing to this during the war. Savannah's own Johnny Mercer.
You hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
That was Johnny's first of four Academy Award winners back in the 40s, and one of the songs that helped us win World War II. And Steve Snyder has written this absolutely fascinating book, Shot Down, the story of the B-17, Susan Ruth. His father, Howard, was a pilot, and the other local connection was these were heroes of the Mighty 8th Air Force. Steve was here on Super Museum Sunday selling and signing his book, Shot Down, an Amazon number one bestseller. It's absolutely fascinating. You did some work and some research on this, boy.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Yeah, from the time I started my research to the time the book was published was 4.5 years, and there's a lot of detail in there.
This is amazing. And, of course, Susan Ruth has a special connotation. Weren't we the only Air Force or military to actually put artwork on our airplanes or whatever?
Actually, it was the Air Force was the only entity. The Navy didn't allow their planes to be painted or named, and neither did the Marines or other countries. But The Air Force thought it would help the morale of these young guys if they could name and paint their planes.
Well, it sure did. It was awfully popular, too.
Oh, I'll say. You know, sometimes it was a cartoon character, but more often than not, that you know, it was scantily clad or nude women.
Yeah.
After all, these guys were in their late teens, early 20s, so they were early young men.
And they weren't around a lot of women at that point, either.
No, not at all.
Susan Ruth was special for you, right? Well, for Dad.
Yeah,
for Dad.
Actually, it was named after my oldest sister, Susan Ruth Snyder, who was 1 year old at the time my dad went overseas. He was the first pilot of the plane, and as such, the commander of the plane and the crew. So he had the last say on what the plane was named. So it was named after my oldest sister.
Steve, what was the genesis of all this? You've actually inspired me a little. I've been thinking about how would I get in touch with the Coast Guard to find out some of my dad's records and see if I could write something about my dad just so he could be remembered. And I don't care if the book's a bestseller or not or anything like that, but it would be a labor of love for me, I think.
A lot of people do that, depending on how much information they can gather about their vet, whether it's a son or daughter or a cousin or what have you. I was extremely fortunate that I had so much material to refer back to. My mother had kept all the letters that my dad wrote to her during the war, and those were just fascinating reading those. And my dad wrote a diary about his plane being shot down, so I had quite a bit of information to start with.
I just wondered how those guys had the time. You're in a war zone and you're busy with training or you know, sleeping or resting or something like that, that you have time to write as much as he did.
Most of these guys, or a lot of the guys, I should say, probably never had been out of their home county. Mm-hmm. When the war came and all of a sudden they were halfway around the world away from loved ones. And, you know, those letters were a huge morale factor for them to receive letters from back home. My dad was, and mother had only been married for about a year and a half at the time that he went overseas. And so they were, you know, kind of still newlyweds and very much in love with each other. And so they wanted to hear from each other. So they wrote regularly.
Book is called Shot Down by Steve Snyder, true story of the pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. When you start on a project like this, there's all sorts of serendipitous things that happen. What was your inspiration to do it in the first place?
Well, I knew the basics of my dad's war history growing up, but it wasn't until I retired in 2009 that I really had the time to delve into it in greater detail. My parents had kept quite a bit of information from the war years, like I mentioned, the letters and his diary and all his orders and things like that, many, many pictures. Going through that, those items, I became fascinated with it. I started reading book after book about the era over Europe and went on the internet and spent countless hours doing research. And various World War II organizations, went to their reunions, listening to veterans tell their stories. And 3 years into my research, I just came to the conclusion that the story of my dad and his crew was so compelling and so unique, it needed to be told. People needed to read about it. So I decided to write a book.
Well, I'm glad you did, because there's so many of these stories we hear all the time. I have friends who said their dad was, you know, World War II hero, but they didn't know it until he died, or until he was at least on his deathbed, and they went up in the attic and found the trunk and opened it up and hear all these medals and awards and everything. I said, why didn't we know about this?
I go to a lot of air shows around the country, signing copies of my book and make a lot of presentations, and I run into a lot of people and talk with a lot of people, and it's a familiar story. You know, most people know very little about their veteran because they just didn't talk about it. And when you're young, you don't think about asking about it. You're busy your own thing. And it's not until later in life that you kind of wise up. And by that time, your vet's, gone. And then you've lost that opportunity to really talk to them and find out what they did during the war.
Well, Steve, I think you're so fortunate that your mom was so diligent in keeping all of this because after several moves, I remember my dad saying one time, because I remember him talking to some of his friends who he was in the war with, and he had these pictures of when he was in Egypt, the pyramids and things of that nature, you know, sailing around in the Coast Guard, never got into a combat situation. Dad had a great war as far as he was concerned. And from what the stories I heard, it was pretty fascinating. But, God, I would love to have that stuff now.
It just disappeared. They're treasures, without a doubt.
I mean, this stuff just disappeared after so many moves, because I remember him lamenting about that. He said, God, I sure wish I knew where all that stuff was.
And sometimes there's all this old stuff like you mentioned in the attic, and then people just throw it all out, and mm-hmm. all that history is lost, which is a tragedy.
It is indeed. We're talking with Steve Snyder. The book is called Shot Down, The True Story of Pilot Howard Snyder and the Crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. And boy, if there was ever a legendary aircraft, the B-17 is it.
Oh, absolutely. It was nicknamed the Flying Fortress because it had 12 to 13 50 caliber machine guns that could put out a tremendous amount of firepower. And also those planes could take a tremendous amount of battle damage
and keep flying.
Yeah, they're pretty iconic warbirds.
You see these things landed and see some of the pictures of the damage, and you said, how the heck did this thing fly?
Yeah, yeah. it's pretty amazing the punishment that they could take. Looking at those pictures, like you say, it was like almost impossible how they could stay up in the air.
How much did you talk? Did you talk with your dad about this? I know you wrote the book after he passed away, right?
Yeah, both my parents died in 2007, and I didn't decide to write the book until 2012, mm-hmm. and it was released in 2014. I talked to my dad. I wish I had talked to him more, even though I talked to him a lot.
Yeah, tell me about it.
My first trip to Belgium, and I've been there five times, was in 1994, at the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Belgium and of my dad's plane being shot down. And I accompanied my parents over for the celebrations. And that's when it became personal for me, because I saw these places where the events took place involving my dad and his crew, and actually met a couple of his Belgian helpers at the time. So that was a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
But the book's just not about my dad. It's about what happened to each member of a 10-man B-17 crew, because something different happened to each guy. Five of the 10 made it back home, but five of them did not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not about my dad. It's about each member of the crew. And it's also about all the Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help these guys after their plane was shot down.
Yeah, that's incredible. Steve, we're coming to the end of our first segment here, and we'll talk more about that, because I do want to talk to you about that crew and all the stuff that you had available to you. All right, we're talking with Steve Snyder. The book is called Shot Down, The True Story of Pilot Howard Snyder and the Crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. And, Steve, I presume this is available I know it's available at the Mighty 8th Air Force Museum here. Is it available on Amazon and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's available on Amazon, If somebody wants an autographed copy, they can go to my website and order one. That's stevesnyderauthor.com, and I'll sign it for them and send it to them.
All right. Steve will be right back. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on News Radio 97.7 and 1290 WTKS. Welcome back to Kaleidoscope on News Radio 97.7 and 1290 WTKS. I'm Bill Edwards, and it's a pleasure to be talking with author Steve Snyder. Steve has written what has become a number one bestseller on Amazon about his father, B-17 pilot of World War II, called Shot Down, the true story of the pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. It wasn't called the greatest generation for nothing. And to keep up their spirits, they had some of the greatest music as well, like the iconic Andrews Sisters, who gave us Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B and Drinkin' Rum and Coca-Cola.
If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
And Steve told us that he wrote this book to honor the crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth, as well. I was so impressed with all the information you had about them and the pictures and everything else. So this is remarkable.
I wanted to honor not only my dad, but each member of the crew. And I went on a quest to try to find relatives of each member of the crew, because all the crew members had passed away. And I was able to find relatives of all the other nine men.
Remarkable.
And I asked them if they could send me, you know, any information they had about their relative, their veteran, whether it be letters, newspaper articles, pictures, what have you, so I could include that information in the book. And some people gave me quite a bit. Others, you know, didn't give me very much at all. It was kind of a struggle. It was frustrating at times because, yeah, I wanted to really honor each guy.
I don't blame you, and I'm glad you did. And it's, I just wondered how much reluctance you ran into. Some people would say, oh, yeah, oh, thank you for doing this, and I want my dad or grandfather or whoever, uncle remembered. And others might say, well, I don't know if he'd like that or not.
And I kept urging him, I go, because if when the book's written, you know, when it's published, it's done, and then you're going to regret it if you mm-hmm. read the book and you go, gosh, there's quite a bit about these other men, but there's not too much about my veteran. I wish there was more. And, you know, if they had more and didn't give it to me, it was just a shame.
Well, Steve, that's the emphasis that you put on the book, and it's so obvious that these guys were a unit. They were one. They were a team. And everybody depended on everybody else. I mean, your dad might have been the commander and the pilot, but at the same time, there's a point in the bombing run where the bombardier is the commander and the pilot. What he says goes while it's bombs away.
Right. When they start their bomb run, the first pilot gives control over the plane to the bombardier, who actually flies the plane to the target through the Norden bomb site that was hooked up to the autopilot of the plane.
That's remarkable.
So the bombardier actually flew the plane until he released the bombs. And he would yell, bombs away, and that would signal the first pilot and then to take control of the plane and try to get the heck out of there.
Well, I mean, but you're so dependent on, I mean, you've got all the gunners, and sometimes these guys had to do double duty. The navigator, he's got to know where he is all the time. And it ain't like you had GPS and stuff like that in those days. You had to do dead reckoning and a little Kentucky windage or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, each guy was important. The bombardier, the navigator, the radio operator, and then all the gunners on the plane trying to defend the ship from the enemy fighters, the German fighters.
Your dad had so much nice things to say about all of the members of his crew, and it looked like they were brothers, you know, brothers in arms, and you know, I guess you get that way, but there's just some special connection there.
Oh, absolutely. When they're going on these missions, and anyone could be their last, and they're up there in the elements, you know, these planes weren't pressurized back then. Mm-hmm. They had to go on oxygen above 10,000 feet, or else they'd pass out in a couple minutes, and they could die. Also, it was tremendously cold at that altitude. It was minus 40 to 60 degrees below zero, so frostbite was a huge problem. And then they had enemy fighters shooting at them, and then we got near the target, had anti-aircraft fire shooting at them. They're seeing other B-17s in the formation go down. They have holes, you know, being ripped through the ships through this through shrapnel from the guns, and it was pretty terrifying up there.
Yeah, you mentioned one of the great movies of the era that was Gregory Peck's 12 O'Clock High. And he gives that speech to these guys when they're ready to go out when he first gets there and said, you know, you got to pretend like you're already dead because you have to go out on these missions knowing you may never come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But these guys, as I mentioned, they were young and, kind of thought that they were invincible and, you know, the other planes or the other guys are going to get it, not me.
Mm-hmm.
So that attitude of youth was pervasive.
But Steve, sooner or later, you know, reality sets in. And like you say, when you see some other ships go down, and these are your buddies, trying to, you know, keep your eye and keep your concentration on your crew, the emotions play on you.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, they would come back after missions and there'd be empty mm-hmm. bunks or beds in their Nissen huts. And then one of the administrative staff would come in and gather the belongings of that airman that was killed and take it away. And all of a sudden, here you have a new airman coming in. So that's another reason, I think, why the crews were pretty close. Guys were kind of reluctant to make a lot of friends because they just lose them, and that'd be pretty painful.
Indeed. I'm talking with Steve Snyder here on Kaleidoscope, called the book, and he's written a book about his dad, his experience in World War II as an Army Air Force pilot. It was called the Army Air Corps in those days, and before it split off into a second service. True story of Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17, which was named the Susan Ruth, which is your sister's name.
Absolutely, yes.
At what point, Steve, did you realize when you were doing all this that this was going to be pretty good?
Well, you know, when I would tell people, the story when I was younger, they go, "Oh gosh, you know, that'd make a great book or even a movie. You should write a book." And I always kind of thought that was the case. But, you know, I had no writing background at all or training as a writer. I was in sales and sales management my whole working career.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I always kind of liked to write. And so it was just so fascinating. And I kept learning things through this process and through my research.
Sure.
And I probably wouldn't have written a book, though, if it wasn't for two Belgian gentlemen, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot, who were young boys during the war, and they were greatly affected by it. They saw firsthand the atrocities committed by the Nazis against their family and friends. And later in life, they became local historians, and they interviewed all these Belgian people and members of the underground about events that took place involving my dad and his crew, and they documented that testimony, and they gave me unbelievably detailed information about events that took place that would have been lost forever without their dedicated research. So I owe them a great deal. And they also provided lots of pictures that were taken 1944 during the war in Belgium that are pretty or absolutely fascinating.
There's always a serendipitous effect when you do something like this, and you never know whose lives you're going to touch or who's going to touch yours. Now the book has been out for a little bit. What sort of feedback have you gotten from people saying, "Boy, sure, I'm glad you wrote this," this touched off something with me, or something like that?
Oh, it's been so rewarding. I thought the story was pretty remarkable, but people will send me letters and they'll call me on the telephone and tell me how much they enjoyed the book. It has a 5-star rating on Amazon, and it's won over 25 book awards.
Whoa!
Since it was released, and the ultimate compliment though was when a World War II veteran, 8th Air Force veteran, tells me how much he enjoyed the book because those guys were there; they lived it, and to get a compliment from those guys is the ultimate.
Yeah, did you? I know you probably had a chance to meet Paul Grassi here, who was a B-24 pilot.
Yes,
I'm sure that he has some nice things to say.
Yeah, it's that I can't get a better compliment from an Air Force guy that went to actually, a veteran who actually went through those bombing missions.
Absolutely. Steve, we'll be right back, okay? We're talking with Steve Snyder. Book is called Shot Down, the true story of the pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth, here on Kaleidoscope on News Radio 97.7 and 1290 WTKS. We'll be back right after Fox News Update. Welcome back to Kaleidoscope on News Radio 97.7 and 1290 WTKS. I'm Bill Edwards. A pleasure to be talking with author Steve Snyder. He's written a book about his dad, Howard Snyder, who was a B-17 pilot in World War II. The B-17 was called the Susan Ruth, named after Steve's older sister. Howard Snyder and his crew were indeed members of the Mighty Eighth, and Steve was here at the Mighty Eighth Air Force Museum on Super Museum Sunday recently. And one of the things that helped us win the war was the great music of the era. There were two huge black groups at that time. One, the Mills Brothers. Another, the Ink Spots. Here the Ink Spots are with their classic, To Each His Own.
Our rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is you.
The Ink Spots. And that was music that helped us win World War II, and Steve's dad might have been dancing to that, among others. And after such a harrowing experience of being shot down by the enemy, landing in enemy territory, not knowing where they were, and losing some of his crew, did he ever have what we now call PTSD?
No, it was back then, it was called flak happy or shell shock. One of those terms. Not later in life, although I was told by one of my aunts that when my dad came back from the war, he had a difficult time adjusting. You know, my parents went through some difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
My other sister was actually born when my dad was missing in action after they were shot down.
Ooh.
So he came back from the war, and so we had these two little baby girls. It was a real adjustment form. My mother did tell me one time, though, that they were sleeping, and all of a sudden she feels my dad choking her because he was having some dream about the war. But I didn't really get a lot of detail about it. So he had some after he came back for a little while, but it didn't affect him later in life.
Thank goodness. Steve Snyder with us. The book is called Shot Down. How many missions did Dad fly?
Well, he was shot down on his eighth mission. Some of his other crew members, they all had different number of missions. A lot of people who are not familiar with Air War with Europe kind of assume that one crew flew together on all their missions, but that wasn't the case at all because guys were getting hurt. Guys were getting sick because of that cold, damp weather in England. They would get pneumonia or the flu. And so actually my dad and his full crew only flew two missions together as a complete crew, because of various circumstances of illness or injury and what have you, they had guys filling in. My dad was on the basketball team, and he tore the ligaments in his ankle, and he couldn't fly for 2 months.
Oh, my gosh.
So some of his other crew members had more missions than him, and then other guys that had been injured had less missions than him, but he was shot down on his eighth.
What was the situation? Had they already dropped their ordnance and on the way back, or what happened?
February 8th of 1944, on a mission to Frankfurt, Germany, where they dropped their bombs successfully, but their bomb bay doors got hit by flak, and they couldn't get them back up. And that caused a drag on the plane, and they started losing airspeed, and they started lagging behind the formation that was headed back to England after the bomb run. And that's when they were singled out by two German Focke-Wulf 190 fighters.
What happened?
Well, those two fighters, like wolves or lions on prey, came in and swooped down, and in the ensuing air battle, the Susan Ruth was shot down. Two of the crew members were killed in the plane, and the other eight bailed out successfully. But both those German fighters were shot down as well. One was piloted by Siegfried Merritt. His plane crashed, and he was killed in the plane. And the other German plane, Focke-Wulf, was piloted by Hans Berger, who was able to bail out, and he made it through the war. Funny story is that when I was doing my research, one day my wife, Glenda, asked me, well, why don't you try to find the German pilot that shot down your dad's plane? like it was no big deal.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, that's going to be impossible. I can never do that. She really doesn't know what she's talking about. But you know, like a good husband, I did what she told me to do. And lo and behold, I found Hans Berger.
Wow.
He, fortunately for me, became a translator after the war, so he speaks English. And he gave me some wonderful insight that's in the book about what it was like to go up against the 8th Air Force. Hans is still alive. He's 95 years old now.
No kidding.
Lives in Munich, Germany, and we've become good friends.
Is there a possibility I could talk to him?
A number of people asked me if they could talk to Hans, but he's getting kind of reclusive now. And he doesn't like to talk about the war a lot anymore because it brings back too many bad memories for him.
Yeah,
because most of his friends were killed in the war. At that age, he's becoming a little less talkative.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, so what happened? The guys bailed out. They were where?
Right over the French-Belgian border. That's where they bailed out. In fact, my dad and the plane both landed in Belgium, and the other guys that bailed out actually landed in France. So it was right on the border. My dad and the plane came down, probably about 2 miles apart in the little village of Mackenwas, Belgium.
What transpired from there had him and the rest of them survive?
Okay, well, my dad came down in some trees. In fact, his parachute got hung up in the trees, and he was dangling 20 feet off the ground, and he couldn't get down. But fortunately for him, a couple young Belgium men came to his rescue before the Germans got to him.
Thank goodness.
They helped him down out of the tree, and this took place about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They told him to stay put and hide until it got dark because they thought it was too dangerous to try to move him during daylight with German patrols combing the area. So that night, they came back, got him, took him to a farmhouse of one of the Belgian men, and he stayed there one night because they thought it was too dangerous for him to stay there any longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, they moved him all around. He ended up to be missing in action for 7 months.
Ooh.
But he evaded capture. He was moved from house to house, and how long he stayed in any given place depended on how brave the Belgian people were who lived there and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. He might spend one night at a house. He might spend six weeks at a house.
Really?
Yeah. So that, again, mentioning those Belgian people, they were unbelievably brave individuals because they risked their lives and those of their friends and family by aiding down airmen, because if the German secret police, the Gestapo, found out,
uh-huh,
they'd be arrested, tortured, and either executed or sent to concentration camps. And some of the people that helped my dad and his other crew members did meet that fate.
Wow. Did the entire 8 that bailed out get back successfully?
No. 5 of them did, but three of them did not.
Oh, wow.
They were killed on the ground a couple months later.
Wow. What a shame. And I presume that did your dad stay in touch with those folks over the years?
After my dad bailed out, he had no idea what happened to the other members of the crew,
mm-hmm,
until he eventually got back to England. But of the 5 that did make it, including my dad, they did get together occasionally, and I did meet them when I was young, as a little boy.
Uh-huh.
They'd come over to the house, and so they did it, stay in touch. And in fact, in 1989, a memorial to my dad and his crew was erected in Mackenwas, Belgium.
Oh, nice.
And my dad and the 3 other living crew members at the time, 4 of them along with their spouses, went over for the dedication. And that's when he really started talking about the war, because prior to that, like most World War II veterans, he didn't talk too much about it. But when he went over for the dedication, he was reunited with a lot of the Belgian people that hit him during the war and saw those places where he was hidden, and that brought it all back. And then he started talking about it after that.
That's probably as emotionally needed as possible, cathartic, the catharsis that you need.
He did keep in touch with a lot of his Belgium helpers, the people that he stayed with for lengthy periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
They would exchange Christmas cards or send pictures back and forth of their family. So he did stay in touch with some of them. But all his helpers are gone except one mm-hmm. now.
Remarkable story. We talked with Steve Snyder. The book is called Shot Down, The True Story of Pilot Howard Snyder and the Crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. This is Kaleidoscope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Kaleidoscope. I'm Bill Edwards, and we just can't stop talking about the World War II heroes, especially those of the mighty Eighth Air Force. Author Steve Snyder knows all too well his father, Howard, was shot down in the B-17 Susan Ruth. The book is fantastic. It's been a number one bestseller on Amazon and the recipient of more than 25 national book awards. And back when Hollywood and the entertainment industry was on our side, there was a lot of great music coming out of the era. Glenn Miller was touring around keeping the morale of the troops up and playing some great songs from people like Savannah's own Johnny Mercer, I'm glad to report, who, along with Harold Arlen, wrote a classic that was being played all over America and the world. And Harold Snyder, Steve's dad, probably danced to this great number that turned out to be not only a classic, but it was also Glenn Miller's first hit. Here's Skip Nelson and the Modern Airs with That Old Black Magic.
That old black magic has me that old black magic that you weave so well.
And Steve Snyder and I talked about the resilience of the B-17, how much damage and abuse it could take before finally succumbing or limping back home, as well as how small it was. Actually, I used to put B-17 models together as a kid, and I thought this was a huge airplane, but I had a chance to fly on one some years back. I went out to the airport to get on the plane, and it was sitting next to a Gulfstream 4, and the Gulfstream 4 dwarfed it. And I said, 10 guys got in this thing with 5,000 pounds of bombs, 10.50 caliber machine guns.
People don't realize how small those planes were. They at the time, they were large aircraft.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It was more cramped than a B-17 than being in a submarine. Like you, and if anyone has the opportunity to go inside one of these B-17s and still fly around and go on tours around the country, they should definitely do so, because they will be amazed at how cramped the conditions were
mm-hmm.
in that
and
plane. Plus, because of the cold, they were bundled up. They looked like the Michelin Man.
Oh yeah,
you know, with
yeah.
the fleece-lined jackets, pants, and gloves, and boots. It was really tight.
Well, you not only had to worry about the enemy shooting you down, you had to worry about your equipment failing. If you lost your oxygen, you were a goner.
Absolutely.
So, Steve, your father gets shot down over Belgium. He has been put away, being put up by these wonderful Belgian underground folks that save his life. How did he get back to England? And of course, it must have been just hell on wheels for your mom and the rest of the family to not know if he's missing in action for 7 months. You got to figure after a few weeks, he's gone.
A couple of the guys, three of the crew, they were captured and became POWs, so they were able to write home.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that three guys had made it, and they communicated that two of them had died in the plane. But there's lots of excerpts from letters that are included in the book about relatives communicating back and forth about their loved ones, and after the plane went down and not hearing anything. The plane was shot down on February 8th. On February 23rd, they got a telegram from the War Department saying that all these guys were missing in action. So it was very, very tough on their loved ones back home. As far as my dad's concerned, it was very stressful on him, too, because
sure.
First of all, his plane's attacked. It's on fire. He's got to bail out. He comes down in a foreign country, has no idea where he is, can't communicate with the military, doesn't know what happened to his buddies on the crew. And here he's been interacting with Belgian people that he doesn't know. They can't communicate because he can't speak the language at that point. And any one of these people could be a collaborator and
mm-hmm.
rat him out to the Gestapo. And he had several close calls while he was hiding that are talked about in the book about almost being discovered. And finally, he got tired of hiding.
I guess.
Word had come that the Allies had landed at Normandy on June 6th. And so he decided to get back into the fight. Prior to going into the Air Force, he was in the Army for a year in the infantry. So he knew how to fight on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to join the French resistance and start fighting against the Germans. The French resistance, called the Maquis, made up of small ragtag guerrilla groups all over France. And his group, there were about 20 guys, led by a French lieutenant who had escaped from a POW, German POW camp. And they basically harassed the Germans. They got their instructions from the British over the BBC through coded messages. And they had disrupted communications, sabotage railroad lines, attack German convoys, assassinate German officers. They were supplied by the British through airdrops, and there's a number of encounters that talked about in the group in the book about my dad's group attacking German convoys, which is pretty fascinating.
Yes, indeed.
How many guys would have done that? Because he could have just stayed hunkered down and waited for the U.S. troops to come up through France.
Yeah.
And liberate Belgium, but he risked his life. Not only could he have died fighting, but if the Germans captured him, they just would have shot him on the spot.
Without a doubt.
Being a terrorist. So that's pretty incredible. The farmhouse where they stayed at is still there today. It's amazing how this all took place in southern Belgium, which is very rural farmland, and things haven't changed in hundreds of years there. So all these places and houses are still there. 7 months after being shot down, word came that there were U.S. troops in a little nearby village of Trelon, France, which is just across the Belgian border. So he walked into the town square and went up to an army major. Actually, it was an element of Patton's 3rd Army that had come up through France after D-Day. He identified himself. He was interrogated to make sure he was who he said he was. And then he went on a convoy to Paris and then went back to England on a C-47. And there he sent a telegram to my mother that he was alive. And that was a joyous day for my dad and my mother and the whole family.
I'll bet it was. What did she tell you about, how had she lost hope or had she, I'm sure she was praying constantly that he was still with us.
Oh, yeah. No, she didn't lose hope. None of the family members lost hope. 3 of the 10 crewmen were married. My dad was the only one that had
children,
a child at the time. My parents were very strong Christians, as am I, and they had a great deal of faith. All the relatives, mothers or parents or sweethearts or wives, they all prayed hard. When actually my dad was the first of the 5 crew members that lived to make it back to the U.S. And when my dad got back to England, they still didn't know what happened to some of these other guys until months and months later when they finally found out what happened.
Well, the Lord was looking out for him, that's for sure. So it's a good thing he kept his faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. After he got back to England, then he was sent back to the U.S. and he became a B-17 flight instructor. They had the Air Force had a rule that if you were shot down and helped by the underground in enemy territory, that you couldn't go back into combat because they were worried if you were shot down a second time, captured by the Germans and tortured, that you'd give up the identity of the people who helped you the first time. So he wasn't allowed to go back in combat. The only exception to that I know of was Chuck Yeager, who personally met with General Eisenhower and talked him into letting him go back into combat.
Amazing. Steve, this is a fascinating story. Has anybody, we got about a minute or so left. Has anybody talked to you about making a movie out of this?
Well, a lot of people say it should be, but I'm going to start looking into that. It's easier said than done. I am working on making a documentary, though.
That's good.
I've done a lot of filming, so hopefully we can get a documentary put together.
Well, a good friend of mine is Stratton Leopold here, Leopold's Ice Cream, but he's also a movie producer. I'm going to show him your book. Maybe we can get something rolling here.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This would be right up his alley.
Sounds good to me.
All right, sir. Steve, an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much, and thank you for writing this book. It's absolutely fascinating, and it's stories that need to be told. When I was doing, I interviewed some VFW, the Jewish VFW met here some years back for their national convention, And they said, you know, please make sure that these stories are told, because they said they'd go to talk to kids in high school and they'll get asked questions like, was Vietnam before or after World War II?
Yeah, it's sad.
It is.
It's sad. It's we can never forget the sacrifices that those brave young men endured. And that, as you mentioned earlier, I certainly feel they're the greatest generation. And it's our duty to remember.
It is indeed. Stephen, like I said, an honor and a pleasure, and thank you so much for your time, and let me know when you're back in Savannah.
Okay, I'll be back next November.
Excellent. We'll see you then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, take care. This has been Kaleidoscope here on News Radio 97.7 and 1290 WTKS. We've been talking with Steve Snyder. The book is called Shot Down, the true story of the pilot of Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17, Susan Root. See you again next week.